Welcome to NatureBack podcast, where we are speaking with investors and entrepreneurs about green economy. My name is Tarmo Virki, and today in Bangkok at the Harbour Space University, my guest is Nick Piramsavat from PTT, where he runs a new solutions team. What do you do exactly with PTT, Nick?
Yeah, so the Express Solutions team, short Expresso is the short form and what we go by. We are essentially the venture capital and venture building team at PTT, the Thai National Oil Company. But some might wonder what an oil and gas company wants to do with climate change. I mean, well, since we are definitely one of the major culprits of accelerating the climate change, we feel that we are somewhat obligated to really reverse the change. And of course, oil and gas is a sunset industry. For business reasons, we need to find new avenues to do business as well. And of course, the most natural choice is to go towards renewable energy and decarbonization as a whole, because that's essentially what's gonna replace the energy sector. So we're really bullish on trying to make the transition go fast. And that's one of the major roles of Expresso, which is finding the right technologies and solutions to make the transitions with technologies into new businesses, including especially the ones that would lead us to a more decarbonized future. And my role here is Senior Investment Associate, where I work on the venture capital side, finding great investment opportunities into other funds and also directly into startups that have the technology capability to create these new decarbonized supply chains based on their technologies and their business angles as well. And it's beyond just a financial investment into those startups. We look at it mainly through a strategic angle, in the sense that, hey, after we invest into these startups, how can we form the right relationships, the right commercial arrangements to work together and then create new businesses that would, one, represent a new revenue stream for PTT, but also to decarbonize businesses in Thailand, whether that's the energy sector, the construction, logistics, and whatnot.
Mm. How big is the team, or what's the scale of your operations?
Yeah, so our team is roughly 20 people, including both the investment and venture building side.
Mm. How many deals you do a year, or how many companies you invest in?
Right. So we end up invest in about like 3 or 4 companies per year only. But the average investment size is usually somewhere between $5 and $10 million. We invest in Series A plus startups for the most part. And for the venture building side, we've successfully incubated and spun off 3 different companies that tackle different sides of the decarbonized economy. One of them is renewable energy certificates based on blockchain technologies to pretty much certify renewable energy production. Another one is called Swap and Go. They're a battery swapping tech solution for two-wheelers, electric motorcycles, really. Mm. And the other one is Mekavi, where they're a digital solutions provider targeted towards larger institutions, governmental institutions, and especially players in the industrial sector to utilize digital solutions in modernizing their business. That increases both efficiency in many senses and, of course, helps them decarbonize with smarter solutions.
Mm. How much the businesses you look at linked, or how much of you're looking for links to the potential kind of PTT operations? I assume you have also some kind of retail network in place, right?
Right.
Which means that, electric charging would be probably something which would be very natural for you guys.
Yes, exactly. Right. So PTT has pretty much the whole integrated oil and gas value chain from exploration production through refining and gasification and distribution and through retail. So we intend to maximize the value of these assets in any ways we can to pretty much be the starting point for new businesses that are in the renewable supply chain rather than being based on the old oil and gas value chain. So we see through a certain lens, one can look at our legacy oil and gas business as a liability in the sense that, hey, it's going to go down one day. But in another sense, these are real operating assets with experienced people working on them, and with the right technologies, with the right collaborations, it can transform hopefully seamlessly into new renewable businesses. And of course, having the oil and gas legacy business is a really important source of funds for us to deploy into investing in the future.
Of course. This week we have seen around the globe all the heat records and there's probably a lot of environmentalists also listening who think that it's all because of the bad oil companies.
Mm-hmm.
How do you work on kind of trying to how do you work with this basically?
Yeah, so I have had quite a few arguments with skeptics trying to paint the picture that, hey, what we're doing is just try to greenwash old oil and gas businesses. This Expressio unit or the other businesses that are doing renewable stuff is just a tiny, tiny portion of the company, which in that sense, personally, it is true. Like the amount of revenue we generate from these new businesses is still completely dwarfed by the oil and gas business. But on a strategic level, PT Group, actually, like the whole group, has set a goal that by 2030, 10% of all our new revenue would have to be based on new businesses, which include these renewable energies, which means that we need to invest much more than 10% today into these kind of new technologies. And to really transition into something new, almost always it requires the cooperation in some way of the people who still maintain the current solution. So without us, this transition would be quite incomplete. So even though that we face criticism and opposition with very understandable reasons, we do believe that we come in here with the best intentions for not just the company, but for the world. Mm. And we're doing what we can to push the transition further. Mm.
Your focus is pretty much on Thailand, but at the same time, of course, the possible solutions coming out of those either spun off companies or the companies you invested are potentially having much larger impact, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that Thailand is in an actually very good position to become a technology exporter or solutions exporter of decarbonized solutions, because for many reasons. One, Thailand has Thailand is kind of entering this like middle income trap where we are pressured to be more services focused rather than being resource focused. And being a technology importer is a really important part for the economy as well. So we believe that the governments and pretty much federal national policies would support creation of technologies for export. That's one. Secondly, Thailand has a precedent for being a regional leader in ASEAN in adopting renewable solutions. This has been true for decades, and it's still true now. Thailand has just been rated as the top adopter of renewable decarbonized solutions in the region, and we intend to use this position of strength and double down on it and not just be the biggest adopter, but be the exporter of technologies as well. And these things, like we believe at Expressio that the new renewable businesses is not just a business for good, it's and it's going to be an immense business. Like the biggest business trend in the world, I would argue, in the next couple of decades will be decarbonization, just because of the like mind-boggling scale of it. Okay. All businesses today has somewhat a carbon footprint, more or less. And to be for the world to survive, that must be cut down drastically. And what would help that reduction is going to come from climate tech. It's going to not just from the technology developers themselves, but for the businesses that know how to leverage the technologies in the right way and make the practical business transitions into decarbonizing them. And by Thailand, by being an early adopter and a big adopter, we can have the insights of how to actually deploy these solutions out. And these are the exact things that people who aren't familiar with these new businesses need. They don't just want the technologies to implement them. They want the whole roadmap. They want the whole game plan of how to deploy it. And as the first users, we can transform ourselves into the leaders of decarbonization deployment.
I would agree with you that climate tech is definitely part of the solution. The other part of the solution has to be a kind of new energy sources. How is in the region, how are they doing? I mean, I know that at least solar is something which has a strong potential here.
Right.
I don't know about the wind, but how big are they in that kind of total energy mix of the region or the country?
Yeah. I'll just focus on Thailand for now. The renewable mix is still like strongly below 50%. The mix is, of course, predominantly hydro and solar. But of course, hydro you can't really force the scale up of hydro just because of the physical limitations. And solar is still a growing industry, influenced by the rapid decline of costs and the rise of China in providing really economic components for making this industry work. So lots of large solar projects are coming up. Wind is limited just because there's only a few locations where there would be enough actual wind for it to be efficient enough. And for other renewable resources, biomass is something that I would say is kind of like the holy grail that people are trying to find, because there's only biomass adoption in certain niche applications, but people haven't found the a mass use case for it. And if we could find that, that would be highly influential for countries like us who are very agricultural based, and many other emerging economies has a big agricultural sector as well. So biomass definitely is one of the holy grail items that we are looking at. But we don't just want to focus on just trying to find the right energy sources to lead the transition. Right now, a lot of our focus is on the how to make things more efficient, and so just that we consume less energy. One of that is through implementing digital technologies, especially in the industrial side, to even just help them reduce the energy consumption by like just 5%. That would drastically cut the fossil fuels consumption. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the also usage of certain industrial practices, instead of just using natural gas as the heat source or the feedstock, there are alternative chemicals and alternative energy solutions, especially electricity and hydrogen, that could power these power plants. Because I'm talking about the industrial sector a lot, because Thailand is quite an industrialized economy, and a huge chunk of our economy is based on the industrial sector. So I think for Thailand and presumably a lot of other emerging economies, decarbonizing the industrial sector is hugely, hugely impactful for the environment. Mm.
When you're talking about the biomass,
right.
The one thing which comes to my mind is from the biofuels, which are kind of tightly linked to whatever BTT has been doing over the years, right?
Yeah.
With Neste's massive investment in Singapore to build a biofuel, diesel biofuel plant, I think, which is also in the region. So I think that's the kind of connection I'm drawing in my head. You guys in biofuels with BTT at all? Or?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So that's one of the... Biofuels is actually one of the reasons that Thailand has been like really highly rated in terms of adoption of renewables, because like if you just go out at virtually every gas station, they will have blends of biofuels in that, both diesel and benzene. Though there hasn't been a significant change for a long time, we are pushing for like a higher blend. For that, and which is a work in progress for sure. But we at Espresso are more looking at solutions that would essentially sidestep this continuous push in making the EV transition possible. That is true both, like one new business that PDT has created, well, not from my team, but from a separate team, which is called Arun Plus. They are essentially PDT's EV flagship. And this is something that is very much linked to the national agenda as well. Pretty much the government has assigned PDT as, hey, you guys have to spearhead Thailand's EV transition because this is going to be hugely influential for the environment and the economy. A big fear of the government is the loss of vehicle production in Thailand. Like the automotive sector is huge in Thailand, representing a huge chunk of our GDP. And if one day that's wiped out just because everybody is using EVs instead, our country will be in a lot of trouble. So it's up to us to really make the right partnerships and right business decisions that would enable the production of electric vehicles in Thailand. And since we're already doing that, we decide why not just like do the whole integrated value chain in batteries production, in software and consumer facing solutions for people to adopt electric vehicles, and of course charging infrastructure in many different forms. Like one of the startups that Espresso incubated is Swap and Go for battery swapping for two-wheelers is a good example of how we are trying to accelerate the EV transition. And I think this is kind of a good example that proves that, hey, we're not just talking about going green, but actually hiding the fact that we are still bullish on oil and gas. We are seriously trying to disrupt ourselves in transferring to the electric value chain. That means just destroying our own like oil and gas demand. But we're fine with that because we know that, hey, eventually it's going to come and it makes much more sense for us to just embrace it and lead it. Yeah. Taking a short-term cut in profit, that's fine.
Absolutely. And it makes a lot of sense because, you know, being the first mover or one of the first movers is always the big thing in the business world.
Right. And like coupled with the fact that we see that Thailand is well positioned to be the leader in Southeast Asia. Mm.
The what are the next big challenges for you and your team in middle of 2023? The world has seen some kind of the, how would I say, downturn. The investment markets have fallen off in the Western world. Mm-hmm. How is all of this impacting you guys?
Yeah. So for the investments. An investment impact of the Western world kind of coming down. That is certainly a obstacle for our investments to continue growing and generate business success. But it also means that we have the opportunity to invest more into assets that are right now arguably very underpriced. So we are ramping up our venture capital operations in finding these undervalued investments so that we could satisfy our financial mandate. Hey, just invest now where the market is cheap, and in the future, we still like believe it will inevitably come up. And like the world can't afford the climate tech sector to go down. Like, it's just not possible for the world. That's what I believe in. I hope most other people believe in that as well. And for like the addressing the investment side, and for the like the Western economy not performing too well, I think this is also kind of an opportunity for emerging players to show the world what they've got. And I think this is time for Thailand to really prove that we are serious about decarbonization. We are serious about being the technology adoption leaders forming like an impetus for this. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, I think like partnerships is actually something that PET, Espresso at least, we have been struggling, and we wish this is something that could have gone much smoother, because another key component to make the decarbonization transition successful, apart from technology, we believe is collaboration. Because in decarbonization, it's not just that people can create individual solutions that are better than the old solutions. We have to pretty much create entire new supply chains that are practical for people to adopt and also make the transition smooth enough. And even though PTT is a large company, like we are the biggest company in Thailand and we have the whole integrated energy value chain, but that alone isn't enough to create new decarbonized value chains. We must work with other corporations that have those existing infrastructures, whether it's in construction or agriculture or industrials. We must be able to work with them closely to align our technology development strategy, technology development directions, align our investment timelines so that no one party has to be on the losing end financially. And when every party involved is going in the same direction, choosing the same technologies, because some technologies just can't coexist, instead of investing in all the technologies, just choose one of them to deploy in with our limited capital. Choose the right technologies, go with the same strategies, pool funding, align timing. If we can do that, like if enough major corporations can set aside all differences, set aside our own short-term obligations to our shareholders, I think this is something that really could accelerate Thailand's leadership position in creating decarbonized solutions. And this is actually something I fear, because if we are focused on having these squabbles and this reluctance to be the first mover, the reluctance to like invest a lot because you fear that the other people in the same supply chain wouldn't share our enthusiasm, that would just delay things. And once things are delayed to a certain point, maybe some other country, Vietnam, Malaysia, would just take our leadership position, and Thailand would lose this really exciting leadership position right now. And yeah, that is definitely something I'm really struggling with, and I hope there would be really a change of wind. Change in the wind for collaboration really soon.
I think it's clearly not only the challenge of Thailand. I think it's a challenge everywhere.
Yeah.
And also, I think on a corporate level, it's sometimes much more difficult than on a governmental level. But also on a governmental level, we have great declarations of fighting against climate
yes.
change, and a lot of signatures on different papers.
Yes.
But so little is done. That's yes. what I'm...
So many MOUs, so many results to claim. Mm. Yeah. We are, like Espresso, part of our involvement with the climate tech industry is really to... One of the reasons is to gain enough insights so we can give management solid input to what their sustainability roadmap should look like. How fast is it? How risky is it? What technologies would enable it to become faster? Because right now, yeah, all the corporations have already set their like 2050, 2040, whatever goals that they're going to be climate neutral, net zero. But very few corporations have actually released like next year plans or even 5 year plans. That is something that people on the top are just really confused and frankly still a bit scared and skeptical about. They don't know what they actually must do to decarbonize. They just know that they have to. They don't know how, and that's what we are actively trying to fix.
Absolutely. That fix is desperately needed in many places.
Yes,
I totally agree with you.
Definitely not just a Thai issue.
Yes, exactly. If a company working on, you know, changing the world and turning the, basically stopping the climate change and looking for investments, what kind of companies are interesting for you guys? Any specific stage or sector in this field or?
You mean,
as an
investment opportunity. Yeah. So, like something that we are looking in, it changes over time, but something we're looking into a lot right now is sustainable aviation fuels, because this is something that could be a quick win per se, because sustainable aviation fuels is one of the rare solutions that can be developed standalone and would just fit right into the old infrastructure. You don't have to change anything. Like the planes are still the same. Like the transport and storage infrastructure is still the same. Just that the liquid inside those, inside that supply chain is changed from being oil and gas based into being made from sustainable materials. And it could also be like, gradually rolled out as starting with a blend of fuels, like, and transitioning into like 100% sustainable aviation fuels. So this is something that could garner momentum and bullishness in the climate tech industry. So we are looking at a couple of players in this space that we believe have robust technology platforms that could potentially become one of the winners in the sustainable aviation fuels industry. And another big one is in EV batteries. And I mean like batteries as a whole for industrials, EVs, and residential sectors as well. There is a lot, like a staggering amount of innovation in this sector developed where like huge teams of scientists are working on separate components of these batteries, and there are so many new upcoming technologies that claim they could be the winner, but of course only a selected few of them would actually win. But when those players emerge, like, it would really create a, I would say, a breakthrough change in the adoption of electric solutions in all sectors. So like technologies that are related to batteries is something we're really looking into, and not just the different chemicals or different production pathways, is the different software and different ways of sourcing these materials as well. Oh, and of course looking at second life batteries, like, because there's like the battery sector is really tied to like the mining sector, and it's well known that these materials are quite rare and are quite limited compared to the even present demand. It's so clear that the future demand is going to be tenfold of what we're using right now, and we're already running out these things. So like second life batteries or recycling batteries has to be a big part of the supply chain, and it's something we're actively looking at.
Good. We talked about a little bit about what you guys are doing. We talked a little bit about the challenges. Looking ahead, you know, what's your next big challenge?
Yeah, so our next big challenge, let's say in the 3-year timeline, I would say is to scale what we're doing. I'm just talking about Espresso. Mm-hmm. So right now, our fund size is about $100 million. We see that hey, it's not going to be enough just to drive the innovation for PTT, like a giant company, the biggest company in Thailand. Mm. Like, this is not enough just for us, but we kind of have to be the bank on the fact that, hey, our strategy is to push Thailand as the regional technology leader. We can't just be a $100 million firm. We have to be bigger than that. And we are exploring not just getting funding from PTT, we are exploring getting funding from other corporations to have us act as the kind of the knowledge leaders in decarbonization, because PTT Espresso is the VC with most experience in this sector in Thailand. Not because we were like the most visionary or something. It's just because we are the VC of the oil and gas industry, someone who's has been on the path of disruption for a while. So we had to be proactive before anybody else, because the energy sector is the first to go. And that's why we have had most this experience. And we believe that it makes more sense for other people to work with us rather than having every company set up their own climate investment team. That's just not very scalable and wouldn't make sense to. It makes more sense to have one large group of experts who have access to the best deals, have access to the best knowledge, and deploy that knowledge and those opportunities of collaboration with different players to many different corporations within the same umbrella. That on a structural kind of viewpoint, that makes more sense. And that structure alone would solve the problem I said I'm currently struggling with, the problem of collaboration. If different corporations are aligned financially, they would be it'll become easier for them to be aligned strategically as well. So we're really looking to create another fund, like an even bigger fund that would involve starting with Thai corporations as limited partners, and hopefully we would be able to include regional corporations to make this movement with a shared vision, with a shared timeline, with a shared technology selection. I believe that only with this can we really accelerate the much, much needed transformation for the region.
That sounds like a great plan. I hope you can execute on it.
Yeah, the plan is good. The execution is really tough.
I understand that. Thank you for joining us, Nick. Thanks for the chat.
It's my pleasure.
Welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
Oh, is that the set? No, that's just my dad.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr.
Daniels again with a big home touchdown.
On this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
Electric Ass. Today is working for me. Do you believe that for yourself? Hey, I'm Pastor Julie, and I want to empower you through encouragement, inviting you to my podcast, Big Truth Encouragement, where I unpack living a faith-filled life. I created my podcast for the ladies, but gentlemen, you'll gain something too. So I invite you to listen to Big Truth Encouragement on Electricast and any platform where you listen to your podcast. Electricast. Electric Acid.